Today we're going to talk about sex. You came to the right place, right? The power of life is located in the reproductive organs, after all. And I promised our staff I would start with that opening line. That they gave to me, I should say. So life is the 12th of our 12 powers. We've been on quite a summer journey, haven't we? Activating these one at a time. Some of you in class even working it a little bit more deeply. And so to come to the end is to come to the beginning, essentially, because that 12th power signifies all of it, right? Life, all of it. The life that runs through us, the life that we live, the life underneath everything. And all those 12 powers ignited one at a time brings the fullness and the essence of our divinity forward. So sex is a potent expression of life, right? I mean, it's connecting, it's blissful. I don't have to tell you. I'm sure you've experienced it. If you haven't, I wish that for you. It's the highest form of creativity, right? It's life beginning life. And I promise today will be G-rated. The power of life is red. It's signified red as that lifeblood that runs through our veins, right? That animates our being on a physical level and in a spiritual level especially. And that energy that is underneath is that life of consciousness, that consciousness that stays with us even after we've made our transition and before we come in, right? Who are we before and after? We are always this essence, this soul, this divinity at our base. And so we tap that when we tap the power of life. It is a power of vitality and energy and vibrancy, kind of like zeal in a way, but a little bit more holistic than zeal. Zeal is more the feeling energy of enthusiasm and excitement, and life is sort of got that encapsulated in it, doesn't it? That's the feeling might be a part of that. And Judas Iscariot is the disciple who represents life. And many of you probably know the story of Judas or a little bit about Judas, who traded for a bag of silver to, you know, turn Jesus essentially over to the authorities to be captured and then crucified. He then, once he realized what he had done, thinking maybe he was, you know, doing a little political ploy there that he didn't know would turn out the way it did, when he realized what he had done anyway, however it was that he came to that realization, he took his own life. And so it doesn't get much more intense than that, does it? Having a contribution to the end of somebody else's life and taking your own life. Those kinds of intense life lessons, or any kind of life, intense life lessons, though, often have consequences that go beyond us, right? I mean, think about Judas's action that contributed to, you know, a religion that has spanned the globe and influenced so many in so many different ways. So it behooves us then to think about Judas as this representative of somebody who doesn't really realize the impact of a life, doesn't really realize the impact of their own actions or the underlying value ultimately that those actions might have. A lot of times we maybe sell ourselves short. We think that the things we are up to in life or how we're choosing to spend our lives maybe aren't as valuable as the next person or as valuable as they should be. But I want to encourage us to look a little deeper at the value of how you choose to express and show up in life, because there is contribution there. There is impact there. Every one of us, every soul on this planet at this time is here for a purpose. And whether or not you recognize that is a part of tapping into the power of life. So I want to encourage you to see the value, to drop into the value. Let me give you an example. A famous man's wife was often asked while they were entertaining many people at their home or in the wider community, "And what do you do, dear?" And she was staying at home full-time with her children, and this is how she replied. I'm socializing two Homo sapiens into their highest expression of love, wisdom, and compassion, so that they may make a meaningful contribution to the transformation of our society into the kind of eschatological divine utopia that was willed from the beginning of creation. And there's more. And so that life may continue to exist on planet Earth. And then she would respond, and what do you do? Isn't that great? This actually is a New Thought adaptation, my own adaptation, to Christian preacher Tony Campolo's wife, Peggy's actual response to people. So you can look up her original response. The point is discovering the underlying value of what it is that we are contributing. And I love that everybody clapped, because we can recognize, right, the mothers amongst us, or our own mothers, or mothers that we see in society, what is or fathers, you know, parents who stay home with their children and are often not seen or monetarily valued in the same way of all this that they provide us. And so it's the same for each of us. What is it that we are contributing? Well, we may not recognize until we take a moment to really look. Maybe write out something like this statement to really recognize, wow, yeah, I am making this valuable contribution. And that then is our vocation. That is our service. That is our joy. That is our life. As Gandhi once said, my life is my message. And so that is the way that we live our life is the living message that we provide to people in all the ways that we show up and express and do and serve. It's no small thing, a life, and the contributions that a life makes, even if they may feel like quiet behind-the-scenes contributions. What matters most in life, what is essential, these are the lessons that we have gotten from this pandemic, isn't it? That these questions that have come that have made us realize that when we look at the collective society, the places where we don't really monetarily value folks and their jobs, they're absolutely essential to our survival, right? Water and food and healthcare. We must have these to survive. And so let's not forget those spiritual awakenings that we've had throughout this pandemic time and come back again and again to those essential questions to contemplate. What is essential? What matters most? To live into those questions helps us tap that value that we have, that we bring. And they're ones that I think we'll live into forevermore because of this pandemic, because of this experience, if we keep the awakening alive and allow it to continue to evolve. And I know everybody in this room will. And so we need to just keep being that, right, out in the world so other people catch that drift and begin to do the same or continue to do the same themselves. That's how we shift. That's how we move into and step into and realize the kinds of visions we hold for the world, that all life thrives in conscious oneness. For example, our vision here at Unity. And there's other questions that will really help open up this power that we can inquire into in our own quiet time, throughout our day, during our walks, when we're journaling. And there are things like, what makes me come alive? Just thinking about that, contemplating that, feeling that, because when you begin to think about what makes you come alive, you'll begin to, chances are, you'll begin to feel that aliveness, right? Because you imagine yourself doing and being and expressing that thing that you love or that way of being that you love. So questions like that or what serves will bring us joy. They naturally bring us joy. And what serves specifically when we ask that question, it helps us make decisions. That's a question I'll often sit with when I'm trying to make a decision. What serves? And sort of break it out. What serves the greater good? What serves the people involved? What serves in this situation? What serves me as well? You know, those questions help us really find our way and stay aligned on the path of our fullness of our divinity and bringing this forth. These questions that are about, that touch on service and joy and life itself remind me of the poet Tagore's quote, I slept and dreamt that life was joy. I woke and saw that life was service. I acted and behold, service was joy. It's all connected, right? Service, joy, life. Another way that we tap this power of life and allow the creative potential and power of it to really be expressed and felt and experienced is by appreciation. Just appreciating what is. There was a maiden in a long ago kingdom who was offered the rare gift by the king. He presented her with a bag of pearls, and he promised that she could keep the most beautiful, largest pearl that she found in the bag. It came with a few conditions, though, that she could only keep one, and that once she reached each pearl as she drew it from the bag, she had to decide whether to accept or reject it. And once it was rejected, she could not pull it back. So she found many very beautiful pearls with just, you know, she would really look at them and see the iridescence or the, you know, just the fine lines that were on some of them very large and beautiful. Yet she kept believing that there was maybe another one, so she would set that one aside and dig a little deeper. But soon she found that the pearls that were left in the bag were getting smaller and of poorer quality. In fact, sometimes she came across a pebble instead of a pearl. By the time she got to the end of the bag, she left the palace empty-handed because she had put all those other pearls aside, continuing to dig for something better. How often in our modern lives, especially, are we really trained by the outer world to keep reaching for something bigger and better, the better job, the better mate, the higher level position, the more glamorous social life, the greater comforts, the better conveniences. Oh, now there's an even better one, and it comes in 10 colors, and you should get the rest of the colors. You know, it's a constant mantra in our society, isn't it? Bigger is better, and more is better, and they are abundance myths that we live with that have this underlying idea that we don't have enough and we aren't good enough. And so if we don't buy any of that and we set it aside, when we pick an exquisite pearl, we'll appreciate it just as it is. The beauty of our lives just as they are, the beauty of ourselves just as we are, as we appreciate it, that goodness increases, that beauty becomes even deeper and more entrancing. And so we begin to remember that sprinkling a little appreciation here and there in life begins to bring forth and to grow those things that we want to experience more of. Sprinkling a little appreciation towards somebody in our lives or something in our lives or for ourselves, all of that can make a big difference in making life itself just as it is, nothing changed except that you put your attention on it and said, this is good, I'm grateful for it. And when we do that, that expands and our experience of life becomes bigger and better from the inside out. Such a simple thing and an easy thing for us to lose sight of. Of course, we know the greatest pearls of all are the gems inside of us, right? These jewels are the things. They're not the shiny, temporary, man-made things that are trying to get our attention, but it's the jewels of things like love and compassion and wisdom, those kinds of things that we share with one another. And so always we get the same pointer, right? Every week I could say the same thing about whatever spiritual thing we're talking about. The way to get there is to go within, right? To look within. I can't say that enough. We can't say that enough to remind ourselves that that's the key on the spiritual journey. To go within, to look within. Because that is where we find everything we need. And everything we can be. And when we tap it, we feel more alive. We feel the power of life moving through us. The power of life refuses to be limited. It won't be limited in any way. It won't be limited or honed down to a single lifetime or a single physical body. It's so much more than that, right? So if you think about, this brings us back to sex. If you think about how, you know, the magnificence and the miracle of what that experience is, that then we can actually even co-create a life. There can be conception and carrying a human being and birthing a human being into the world that comes out of this act of two people coming together in love. That is so powerful, isn't it? And that's just the physical part. What about underneath that? The power of life that is really there, that connecting power, that loving power, I don't have words for it really, that power that is beyond, that creates love itself, that procreates love in the world, is such an incredible thing to behold, to know that this power lies deeper than even the miracle of bringing forth human life. That it's even more than that, because that we are tapping is the divine essence itself. It's the very essence of our soul. Wow, I know. I'm with you, Mario.
More.
Oh, more.
More.
All right, you got it. Here comes more. So when we each access that power of life, we contribute to manifesting bigger and better visions in the world, collective visions. Like this vision I mentioned that we hold at Unity of Walnut Creek, that we envision a spiritually awakened world where all life thrives in conscious oneness. All life begins to thrive in conscious oneness when one of us wakes up, when one of us steps in a little bit deeper, a little bit further into any one of these powers, or all of them, or this particular power of life. And there is that unlimited power of spirit at work that helps us create and expand than whatever it is that we are up to. So we don't want to box ourselves in, right? We don't want to make ourselves too small, because that's what shuts down our powers. That's what shuts down our ability for life to beget life through us. So if we stop building the fences that cause us to not have full access to each one of these powers, if we stop setting up the blockades of limitation, that's how we get the access. That's how we stay fluid and in the divine flow. That's how we get to have the blissful experience of simply breathing and being alive. Imagine every morning if you woke up and you took a conscious breath and you said, "Oh my God, it's so exciting to be alive." Yeah, every morning, if it felt like that, when your feet hit the floor, it was like, wow, I can't wait for my day. What is going to happen today? I have no idea, but I wait for it to unfold, and it is with great joy and great passion that I step up and I step in, and I do all these routine things as I'm brushing my teeth. I just am so grateful that I have teeth and that I can eat food that is so delicious. And, you know, it's just like we can really light ourselves up if we practice these principles. An affirmative prayer. It doesn't take that much effort. It's just a willingness to say, hey, this sounds kind of fun. I'm going to try this today. You know, I think about our little godson. In fact, Brendley and I do this a lot. When he came to visit, and he was, I don't know, maybe about 6 or 7 at that time, and he's all ears, right? And he's a little beanpole. And so he meets me in the hallway, and I'm like hardly opening my eyes yet, and he's still in his pajamas, and he says, "Exciting day ahead of us, exciting day ahead of us." And so sometimes we do that to each other. You know, she did it yesterday, I think, because we had some playtime. So it's that kind of thing, right, where we can lift each other up and play and be like a child. That's when we feel life, right? When we laugh together, it's like aliveness. Yes, I am so grateful for this breath, for this precious life, for these precious days and years that I have to contribute in a meaningful way, to make connection with other people, to create. Whatever it is that we choose to do with that, it starts with that feeling of aliveness and joy. In Eugene Peterson's The Message version of 2 Corinthians 6:11 through 13, he says, "I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter into this wide, open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. live openly and expansively. I love his poetry in the Bible. He's essentially written the Bible, infusing his poetry. So as we do so, at the apex of our aliveness, we experience that. We experience that because we let the fences drop. There's nothing to do here. That's the magic of this, right? There's nothing to do except to let the limitations go. Stop building fences. Stop making ourselves small. Stop boxing the life of spirit, the divinity in us, in, and just let it out. What a difference it is to live from that space of bigness instead of smallness. Our Unity of Walnut Creek mission statement includes expanding and living our divinity. That's what we've come here to do. That's what we say as a community we are all about. In essence, we are expanding and living our divinity. These powers, igniting these powers, is what helps us do exactly that, what brings it all to life. All of them, faith and strength, love and wisdom, imagination and power and will and understanding, order and zeal and release and life. All 12 of these, as they are activated and ignited, brings the sense of aliveness. And working with them in partnerships and pairings and calling forth a few of them at a time when we need it, you know, we begin to become fluid with how we use these powers and how aware and awake we are to each one when we walk through life and remember who we are. And so let's know these together. Let's feel that presence that rises up in us when we claim it and allow it to be lived as us as we embody this truth of who we are and the fullness of all 12 powers lit up in us, in each one of us. Let's speak it together, our affirmation. I stop limiting and start living my divinity. I am alive. Let's say it one more time with tons of life, okay? I stop limiting and start living my divinity. I am alive. Yes. Bless you.